temptation of the latter times. What a fantastic time to live. Do you realize how fortunate you are to be living today when all these wonderful, fascinating things are happening? That is, if you're familiar with our Father's words, you know they're going to happen before the fact. And we see His scriptures being fulfilled in your lifetime. He warned you, though, that there would be temptation. But do you know what He said also? He said, hey, if you'll come with me, I will allow you to escape the hour of temptation. Now, many people in certain quarters think that means fly away. That's not what He was talking about. He meant that He wanted to make you knowledgeable enough to the point in our Father's Word that you would be able to escape the temptation of deception, and there would be no way you could be deceived. I don't believe there is, if you're founded in His Word. That's what it's all about. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. Christ was tempted for our sakes, showing us how and the way. And I will document before we finish the lecture that He was doing it for the latter times, showing you especially. He was confronted with Satan. When we are confronted with the Antichrist, same ticket. He's showing you how to cut it, how to get it done, how to withstand the temptation, how to not be deceived. So, this is where it happens. Let's get right to it with a word of wisdom from our Father. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, and it reads, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. What is the wilderness? The wilderness, in a sense, is the world. Now, He's going to really do it the hard way, just to show you it was no step for Him. Why? Listen. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. This means He was literally hungry. He was starving. 40 days and 40 nights. That is to say, for food of the earth. And it's to show you that even at this weak state for the flesh, He could still cut it. It's to show you that you can also. Oh, but it's so bad, Pastor. It's not that bad. And you can cut it. You just got to bow your back and get into it. How do you get into it? Into the Word of God to find the way, the path. And I want you to note also it was the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches you and that will even speak through you as you're delivered up before this false Christ, false Messiah. As it is written in Mark chapter 13, let that be no great thing to you. It is well written in Matthew 24, Luke 21, verse 3. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be, got a little doubt here, if you really are, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now why did Satan know? Why would he mention this? He knew he was hungry. That was his weak spot. What does that tell you? I don't know what your weak spot is, but Satan does. He's going to lay it on you, friend. He knew exactly where to strike. 40 days and 40 nights. Hey, I'll feed you. Really will. Hey, I know you can do it. You're hungry. Your flesh needs something. This kind of teaches you who to listen to, your flesh or the real you, the inner person. Verse 4, Jesus answered, but He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now let me tell you something. That is truly what you live with. This word live is not just to get by. It means to live eternally. I'll document that for you in a moment from the Hebrew tongue, where we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 to find out. He said it was written, so what do? It's not complicated. A child can tell you, well, if it's written, let's go there and read it. And they will understand every word of God. You got it. Let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to see what it was. Concerning following the commandments, I was going to start about the third verse. Let's start with the first. Chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live. That's the subject. Eternally live. And multiply. And go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. In other words, God promised us a land. God, through the migrations, has always provided that land, your security. Though it's not free, He seems to lead us to manage that. Verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. There was that 40 days of fasting by Christ himself in the wilderness to humble thee. And to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. I don't know. How are you doing, friend? Do you give a certain amount of time to your father? If you want a blessing, you'd better, or hey, just keep plugging along and never amount to a hill of beans. It's all right with me. But it can be so different because of his promises. And it's real, friend. Very real when you stick with those promises. Verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. He let that manna fall from heaven, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. This word live is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It's kawa. It means to revive. And you get a little reviving from it every day when you go to that place where you say, Father, need a little more knowledge here. And he revives you as though you were in a revival right downtown. Right? He revives your heart, your mind, your soul, your body. The Word of God will revive you whether you're hungry, thirsty, or whatever the case may be. He will strengthen you. He will provide for you. The example of manna, do you know what manna means in the Hebrew tongue? It kind of is a play on what was said here. It fell, and they said, what's that? And that's exactly what manna means. What's that? Kind of a lesson within that, because when you're wondering what's going to happen, God will teach you. But do you know something? You've at least got to go to his table. Does that make sense to you? He will feed you. But you've got to go to his table. That's to say, his word, his knowledge. Oh, hey, have a good day. Have a good trip. Enjoy this old world and its bumps and knocks and grinds without the protection. If you enjoy it, have to it. That's your business. For this is all a testing. It's to separate the sheep from the goats. It's to separate the real Christians from the would-be Christians, as to whether temptation shakes you, rattles your chain, or whether you know He's going to protect you, feed you, keep you warm, give you victory always, and beside all that, give you the power and the authority to say, "Get Satan! Get out of my life! On your road!" I mean, you know, that's a lot. Or you can just sit there and snuggle up to Satan and go to bed with him for all I care. That's what you want. This is a testing. Are you tempted? Or do you feed yourself by the Word of God? I don't know. Do you revive yourself with this Word, whereby your little old flesh body can just rear right up and face it head on, go through it, around it, or over it, but go? Hey, I could really get into this. I really could. Verse 4. "Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years." What he's saying is, didn't I take care of you? Don't you trust me? I would think for 40 years you would learn, hey, yeah, that's the way it was. Exactly. I mean, they were out there and there wasn't a quick trip on the corner, friends. Uh-uh. They had to depend on Him. Sometimes that's why He tests you and gets you down. He wants you to wake up to the call. "I need help, Father. And I really mean it." Then He'll give it to you. He'll put a quick trip for you there, only it'll be from His store, not man's. Five. "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart," that's in your mind, you're finally going to get it in there, "that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." He's going to thump your door. And the best thing for you to learn how to say is, "Thank you, Father, I needed that." Whoa. You know, and get back to work in His Word. Don't let there be any doubt in your mind. He means business. And this whole temptation thing is for you, for your benefit. Why? He wants to know if you're fit for the kingdom. He wants to know if you can cut it or not. He wants to know if you can use your mind and mouth for something besides finding food and stuffing it in your tummy. He wants to know if you can use your mind to study the Word of God and know that whatever the case is, how long it is, or where you're at, God's able. He'll give you the knowledge and wisdom to scratch like an old hen and find it where other people can't. And along the way, you better know and recognize He will thump your gourd when you need it. Why? He loves you. The same as you correct your children, He loves you. Don't expect any less from Him. He will correct you. Verse 6, "Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and to fear Him." That means to love Him. Why wouldn't you? He has provided you this tremendous meal, this banquet of words that you can live by. And I mean have quality life, not just a get-by thing. Oh, if I could just get by. Not good enough for the children of God. Not good enough. Feast on the manna of the hidden stone, as it is written in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Know the difference in the stone. It's there for you. It waits. Grab it. Take it. Consume it. It's the Word of God. Verse 7. "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills." I don't know. Are you getting plenty of water? Are you getting plenty of everything? It's a good land. Have you learned how to milk it? To use it? To make it bless you? God will tell you how. He does in His Word. All you have to do is do it that way. And it is a good land. And yes, we protect it. Yes, we'll fight for it. Why? It's God's land. And our Father's in control. the whole world is what I'm speaking of. Verse 8, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. Yeah, those things. Full of seeds. Whoa, granites, that is. A land of oil, olive, and honey. The oil of our people and honey, for the which is the prophet's food. Man, if you're having trouble, eat a little honey every morning and see what happens to your mind. Well, I don't know. Anyway, worth a try, isn't it? I mean, that's prophet's food. Don't go eating no grasshoppers, all right? Just stick with the honey, all right? But he's got it there for you. All you have to do is take it. Well, how do I do that? Tell him you want it. If you love him, if you're going to get into his word, you're going to try to do better, and be blessed. It's so much better than being of the world. Verse 9, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Hey, you'll never find a better nation to fit that role than the Americas. I mean, it's here. And it's there. But there's a strange word within that verse, though. It says, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest D-I-G. Dig. Well, I didn't notice that word. Well, how's your life doing, friend? You don't understand the word dig? I guess not. Well, then do it out. I mean, just because it's there, it's not going to pop into your hands. You got to learn how to dig, to work, to get with it, to be somebody. God will take care of the rest. He'll do his part, but he doesn't like scoffers, that's lazy people. He really doesn't. It's riches. Have you read it? Verse 10. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Do you ever do that? Now, maybe I have a bad habit. I always do that before I take it. All right? I mean, I'm going to ask his blessings on the food before I eat it. All right? But it doesn't really matter to him. Before or after, what he's really saying, don't forget from whom all blessings flow. Don't ever get the big head and think you did it yourself. Oh boy, did I pull a good deal there. I made a bundle. Oh, you did. Oh, all by yourself, huh? You're really something, aren't you? Doing good. Well, wait till tomorrow. If you don't give credit where credit's due, there's going to be somebody out there smart enough to yank your dumping valve, and it's gone. All right? Give credit where credit's due, and give God the credit. Even if it's not for anything but the air you breathe. Verse 11, beware that thou forgettest not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments, his statutes, which I command thee this day. It's important to him. Any father will be very pleased with a child that obeys family rules. It's just family. 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. We got it made. 13. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, God's blessings, but I did it. 14. Then thine heart or your mind be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I mean, you were a slave. Got a little lucky and did pretty good, and look at you now, getting the big head again. 15. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness. He did what he led you. Wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and ralph, where there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? He did it. He can cut it. He knows how to take care of his people. That applies to this day in life also. It certainly does. I mean, you don't have to wait for the good land. You don't have to wait for the good blessings. They're there for you today if you dig. The hills will produce for you. 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee. Boy, he's mentioning that a lot, isn't he? What if he's afraid we won't be humble before him? I'm saying that's kind of a concern of his. And it is an humbling thought when you walk out at night and look up the heavens and see what he has created, or the very mountains themselves in their serenity. And that he might prove thee. Got it? That he might prove thee. I don't know, what's your scorecard? What does the Book of Life say about you? Can-do type person? Flunky? No good? Lazy? Are really a man of God or a woman of God or a child of God? What does the book say? You know, to do thee good at thy latter end. Whoa. Latter end. Well, this temptation happened when Christ was still... No, he says this has to do with your latter end, right up to the very end. I mean, that's what the temptation is about. Is how you're going to cut it. I mean, that day's coming. I know we talk about it a lot and we study about it a lot. But don't worry, the tipped glass of sand is already trickling. It's running out. How are you fixed, friend? What's written by your name in the book of living life? What do you live by? It's written there. You can see it. Life. What gives you life? The Word of God. And it'll keep a good record by your name. Well, now, what does he mean here, though, the latter days? It seems like this came up once before. And, oh, yeah, it was back here in the book of Numbers. I believe it was Numbers 24 that we ran across that same thing of how it would be in the latter times and what we were told to do about it. It had to do with old Balak, all right? The son of Beor, Balaam also. And we pick it up in Numbers 24. I hope that's what I said. Numbers 24, verse 14. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. What days? The latter days. That means the end of this dispensation and entering into the millennium. And he took up this his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are opened hath said. I don't know, are your eyes open? Do you have eyes to see? Are you able to ascertain what's happening in this world today? Because it's written in here. It is written. He hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High. I don't know. Do you? That gives you understanding. Which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. In other words, eyes that could see. See that yours do. Sometimes you must close your flesh eyes and let your spiritual eyes see the truth. 17, I shall see him, but not now. Why? Because it's the latter days we're talking about. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. That is to say, from the tribe of Levi and the tribe of Judah, Messiah would come forth, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. Seth, unfortunately, this is a bad error in the translator's part. Seth in the Hebrew tongue means tumult, trouble. And it should have been translated trouble because Seth has no article here. It should read all the children of trouble, of confusion. 18. And Edom, that is Russia of today, not the people. the system, shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. And they will. They have. They are. Who is the superpower of superpowers? I mean, it's true. As you would read in Genesis chapter 25, in the womb of one woman was two nations. And from those two nations, they would be great powers. All right, one would live by the sword, but he would die by the sword. And so it is that the tottering of nations begins. This tells you what happens to them, friend. Look around you, if you have eyes to see. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. What city? The city of Babylon, the city of confusion, of trouble. It's gone. You want to be on the winning side? Then be in the fall. That's what's important. Verse 20. And when he looked on Amalek, this is the son of Esau, right? Again, Rush. He took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he shall perish forever. Why? Because all nations shall. We're only going to have one nation, and it's headed by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he has a dominion, not a nation, but a dominion, and he will reign supreme. 21. Listen carefully. He looked on the Kenites and took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place. And wow, boy, is it. And thou puttest thy nest in a rock. You think you're hidden. Hey, not from those that have eyes to see. Nevertheless, beside all that, the Kenite, you know the Kenite? That's the sons of Cain, the troublemakers of the world today. The Kenites shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. Who is Asher? Asher is old T-Asher from Genesis, Ezekiel chapter 31. And I'm thinking in Hebrew for a moment. You find it there as written, Asher, but the Hebrew is T-Asher, meaning that plain old box cedar, Satan. He is also called the Assyrian in Isaiah chapter 14 concerning the Antichrist, the false Messiah, Lucifer. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? I know, you are. This is the generation of the fig tree. What are you going to do, and how are you fixed, friend, for knowledge and wisdom from God's word? It is written that you shall live, be revived by the word of God daily in strength, knowledge, and power to know what tomorrow brings, whereby you may escape the temptation when that false one promises anything people will want as long as they will ride with him. How are you doing? What is the cost if you do? Everything for you. And he took up this parable saying, alas, who shall live? That word live, meaning revive. Who's going to do it? You better revive. And of course, the ships of Chitin is the bruisers that bruise the head of Satan. That's what the word in the Hebrew means, Chitin. It means bruisers. That's the children of God that bruise, as Christ will also, the offender. Let's return back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, where Jesus said, that word of God is what you'll really, it will really revive you. We stopped at verse 16, Deuteronomy 8. Let's pick it back up at verse 17. And thou saying, remember what he was saying, you're going to get on your high horse, you see that you got it all, and you say, my, look what I have done. I have me everything. And I'm sure that he does. And forget where it came from. Hey, it's wonderful to have everything. That's A-OK. God expects his people to have whatever they're able to take care of. I don't know. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Hey, if you want to head straight, I mean, if you ever want to be at a place where you're right at the tip top of the slippery slope, let those thoughts come out of your mind, really meaning it to yourself. You know, God has done this thing for me. I did this myself because I was smart cookie. You understand that? My ideas brought this to pass. I did this. What about your father who lined it all up, and every time a stupid person like you was about to slide down the slippery slope, he whomped you a good one right there and got you straightened out, you know. And here you're saying, my, and I did this. You better thank him for the whomp and the fact that he helped you at every turn when you asked his blessing, and then the blessing had just begun. Verse 18, and thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get well. Hey, having a hard time, friends? Wonder why I can't do anything. Well, do you ever read God's Word? You want me to read it to you again? You want to know where wealth comes from? Listen to it. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. What is that power? Whatever your profession. That he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Satan's tightening the screws on you all. Yeah? I mean, it's getting where it's almost impossible. And I'm going to tell you something. It is impossible for man. Do you know where I'm about to go? I said it is impossible for man. But nothing is impossible for God. Hey, you better know where to put it, friend. Because the screws have just, they're getting tight, but they're going to get tighter. I pray for our people as a nation. I really do, because I'm very aware of those screws that are being tightened on those things they do, land, taxes, so forth. Hey, God can handle it. Don't ever forget about it. Nothing's impossible for him. You want to know how to get wealth? Get the power from God. 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Oh, but brother, you don't understand. We have a little church over here that you don't have to go into that old God's Word. All you have to do is believe and fly away. There's one coming going to give you a ticket. I mean, first class, too. I mean, really ding-a-dee-ding, right up front there where you can just really fly. And you don't have to do anything but be here every time we open the doors. Don't forget, when we pass the plate, I forget something. Oh, I don't do that, do I? Well, do that as it may. Anyway, do you know who that's serving? Now stop and think a moment. Can you better understand why Jesus would say through John in the second epistle of John, if anyone come bringing you another word than this Old and New Testament, a different way, if you as much as wish them Godspeed, that's to say, but God bless you, brother, in your little flyaway doctrine. I just wish you the best. You become a partaker of his evil, wicked deeds. That's written. I don't think it said flyaway. It just said other than this. And this doesn't talk. God makes it very clear in Ezekiel chapter 13. I am against those that teach my people to fly to save their souls. It's not this God, but another. So you see, these things become very serious when you get right down where the rubber meets the road and what pleases God. And let me tell you something. you better hope that what you do pleases Him, and to heck with the world or what people might think. You better please Him, because He is the one who gives you the power to find wealth, happiness, peace of mind, and protects you under His wing. Let's go back to Matthew and see what else is going on back there about the latter days, for it was totally a sign for you so that you wouldn't mess up, showing you how to do it. He's hungry. He could be tempted. Is he? No. Verse 5, Matthew chapter 4. Then the devil, you want to know who the tempter is? Well, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city. That's Jerusalem. I see my microphone has... There. I think I talked well enough. Maybe it was picking up all right, and I didn't look up to Dave and see if I was hearing. Is that better, Dave? All right. You folks out in video land, sorry about that. Okay. Back to Matthew chapter 4. Let's pick it up with verse 5. Let's go with it. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, Jerusalem, and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. Hey, that's right. I mean, that's downtown, friend. You're right up there where the action is. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. You notice how he keeps bringing that up? Hey, if you're who you really claim to be, and if you're believing your right religion, you will believe God's word. Can people shake you? Are you really who you say you are? Are you really being true with God? All right? That's what Satan's asking. Are you sure you know what you're doing? I'm just preparing your mind for temptation. You got it? Okay, don't be leaving at the back door now. They're not. I'm teasing. Okay? If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Hey, old Satan's even quoting Scripture now. Do you know something? He knows more Scripture than you do. He's sharp, friend, and don't you ever doubt it. Your only power against him is the power that Christ is giving you to order him on the road. Okay? For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Let me tell you something. God doesn't put on carnival acts. That's what that would have been. What would it have proved? Had he jumped down? Now, first of all, know this. Satan had the ability to go there and to take Yeshua with him. And it is true. It's written. He knows it. He twisted it a little bit, as Satan always does. And you know where he was quoting from. And that psalm is probably one of the most important psalms in God's Word to you concerning temptation. Psalms 91. Let's go there real quickly. Psalms 91. Concerning the temptation and the words that Satan would say to Christ. Satan knew this psalm real good. Do you? 91 verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Picture him as a great eagle. And if you abide, that's a mansion with him. All right, I'll take that liberty. That's like John 14 where it says he prepares a mansion for you. That means it's a mansion with God. Let him be your abode, your abiding place. He'll take you under his wing. And what does that mean? Have you ever seen somebody try to bother an eaglet under an eagle's wing, a mama bird? Whoa. Don't. Right? That means secure. Two, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I don't know. Who do you trust in? Yourself? Whew, boy. Three. Surely, I don't want to destroy your confidence. As long as your confidence is in Him, you can be confident. But don't ever forget where your confidence is anchored in Him. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Do you know that people are setting traps for you in this world? They like what you've got. They want it. They stay awake at night setting traps for you. Well, you say, well, I can't hardly believe that. Well, did your taxes go up this year? Mine did. They really voted in a whole new thing. You know, we're going to reappraise everything. Well, my old house is still the same old house, but I found out one good thing. It's worth a lot more than I thought it was. Okay. Boy, they dreamed that one up. I'm saying, I just use that as one little example. Don't worry, I'm going over this Wednesday and we're having it out. But anyway, four, the old house is the old house. He shall cover thee with his feathers and under his, and I better tell you also, God's going with me. Okay. Hey, I ain't going over by myself. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. What? Outside of his wing? Under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. This, I want you to know, is written to Messiah and those that are his. No one else. I want to say it again. This is written to Messiah and those that are his, no one else. It's not for you if you don't fit that category. Well, I'm not perfect. Well, neither am I. But I still belong to Messiah. I still belong to my Father. Okay? He knows we're not perfect. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of a night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. You don't have to be afraid of anything. The hunter's trap, what he's saying here, that trap's not going to hurt you. I'll see to it. Do you believe that? I do. Witnessed it time after time. Six. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You don't have to be afraid of anything. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why? You're not tempted. The deception won't bother you. Listen, thousands will be deceived by the deception. They're going to think of the truth that he is Messiah, and they're going to fall, so-called good Christian people. How are you doing, friend? It is written. The temptation of the end time will come. It is here. Don't be deceived. I don't care if a million fall by your side, and they will. You stand firm. You are right. You are correct because God is correct and God is right. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. In other words, if you have eyes to see, you can see the mess they're weaving together for themselves, and you know what's going to happen to them. And you understand it. If you are wise enough that you understand the acrostic written in the Hebrew language, and your companion Bible breaks it out for you of Psalms 37 from this same book of Psalms, hey, it paints a beautiful picture telling you exactly what happens to the wicked as they're weaving their basket. Nine. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. I don't know. Have you? You have to answer that. Or do you slip out into the world occasionally out from under the wing and get whackerdooed? I don't know. If you enjoy it, hey. 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Beloved, there are seven plagues. Seven vials that are going to be poured out. Do you want them to come onto your house and place? Or do you want to be immune? This is how you do it. They can't come near you. The deception of the plagues, the vials, has no effect upon you. If you know how to avoid the temptation. Verse 11, "For he shall give his angels," this is where Satan quoted, "for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Not at any time, in all thy ways, path, as Satan would say. Satan twisted. He said at any time. Go ahead and jump. God doesn't like sideshows. All right? Anybody that would be stupid enough to... Do you know what would happen to you if you jumped off of a high building? Huh? Without a parachute? Squish. Jesus was smarter than that. Okay? Why? God doesn't participate in nonsense, and that would have been nonsense. Alright? Don't you participate in nonsense. Well, I've got to have faith. I'm going to go down here to Spavino and say, God, I'm not sure whether I believe or not. If you will part this water just one time, just for me, and show me that you are real, I'm going to walk across here. And he'll probably do you like he did the Egyptians. Whoosh! Right under. He doesn't like sideshows. Nonsense. All right? If you don't have enough faith to understand and know, I'm sorry. Have a good trip, because I know where you're going. 12. They shall bear, the angels, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thy dash thou foot against a stone. It's true, it's written. But you've got to be plowing for him. That means working for him before he'll do it. This is naturally, as I stated, is written to Messiah, but it's written to you also, and your documentation is Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, where it is written there, if you be one of God's elect, that God's, that your angel, I said your angel, I'm talking to you, and I'm quoting Matthew 18:10. I hope that's right. 18:10. I think that's right. No. That your angel, your personal angel, has the face of God at any time. That means he can get God's attention when you're in trouble pronto. Right? Real quick. That's good, too. Right? All right. God will take care of you. But he expects you to believe him and his word and do it that way. No sideshows, please. 13. Thou shalt tread. This is what Satan didn't like, okay? Just to follow on. Satan didn't quote this. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Christ is going to do that. As it was written in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, concerning the woman's seed and Satan's seed, the Kenite. You're going to pierce his heel, all right, but he's going to crush your head. But you are a bruiser, and that's why the ships of Chittim, God's election, are bruisers, and a part of that bruising. Why? Every time you show faith in your Father and live it, it bruises Satan. He can't handle it because you're given the power and the authority to stomp him, to take names and kick dragon. He doesn't like it. Well, tough for him. All right? Keep plowing. Verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Do you know his name? Do you know your Father's name, and does he know yours? Of course he does. 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble today. The Lord has just forsaken me. I know I'm all alone. I will deliver him and honor him. I will be with him in trouble. If you're in Messiah, God will be with you when you're in trouble. And let me tell you something, friend. Don't make the gross mistake that most people do. When you've done all you can do, I mean, and have worked hard at it, you better turn it over to him to handle and let go of it. Because I guarantee you, he can make quick work out of it. He will be with you when you're in trouble. Verse 16, with long life. Ooh, I like that. This was about living, wasn't it? Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? And you have a part in that salvation. We could go on and we could cover the rest of Matthew chapter 4, but allow me just to quote it, if I may. It won't be verbatim, but it'll be so close a lot of people wouldn't know the difference. I won't twist any of it, I promise. Satan never gives up as long as you will give ear. Christ was only giving ear to be tempted to prove to you. It wouldn't bother him. Have you ever seen water run off of a duck's back? Wouldn't bother him. Right? He was well covered with the oil of our people. Why? Christos means the anointed one. Christ. So he would say, he would take Jesus on this same high place and show him the kingdoms of the world, which actually documents the fact that Satan is in charge of the nondescript beast kingdom written of in Daniel. Alright? So I'll give it to you. Jesus knew which one he was talking about, the last one. So I'll give that to you if you'll fall down and worship me. Don't worship the false Messiah. Don't be tempted by him. He's a fake, and you know it. So understand from your Father's word, it is written, that you don't live by bread from a loaf, but by every word of God. And you absorb it here. You take it into yourself. You let it revive you daily. I want to repeat again the Hebrew word that would say, God has stated, you shall not live by bread alone. Kawa. Kawa. It is spelled C-H-A-Y-A-H. And it means to revive. Like you were going to have a revival in your life every time you stop and think, hey, that is healthy. It is wonderful to keep your flesh body healthy. But it's probably more important that you exercise your mind and keep it healthy by reviving it with the strongest input there can be, and that is to say the Word of God. That's what causes you to live. Not the vitamins. Nothing wrong with vitamins. Again, please follow me. Your flesh is one thing. I'm talking on a different level. You live eternally by every word of God. So don't you ever let some idiot tell you. You don't have to understand God's word, the book of Revelation. Just understand me. For I am your pastor, and would I wish anything evil upon you? Well, if the idiot is telling you you don't have to understand part of God's word, that he's smarter than God, you're listening to a fool, and you're a fool for listening. That is strong, isn't it? And I'm not calling the Greek word. I would never call anyone mina, which is the word fool you're not supposed to call somebody. It means somebody, you just absolutely scratch them off. The only reason I teach is to take people that are a little bit confused and try to jar them into the word. I'm not talking about you all not used to the word, but where were you when you first started studying? You know, I mean, think about it. See, that's what we're about. That's what you're about. See, just getting people into the word. Many people say, well, first time I saw you and I heard you, I hated your guts. Well, that's all right. I drove you into the word of God, and look what happened. It's wonderful. I'm not out to win any personality contest or something like that. I'm as long as God loves me, hey, I'm happy. But I do like to be liked, though. But that's a small price to pay to get someone into the Word of God. Boy, I mean to tell you, when you make some statements, they head for the King James, get the dust off of it. I'm going to prove him wrong. And that's beautiful. Do that. It's healthy. It's really healthy. And it's just the Holy Spirit truly working. So, don't be tempted. Don't let the world pull you down. Oh, will it ever do it? Just a little bit at a time. You've got to be revived. And the Word of God will raise you up. It will remind you of who you are. Father, we thank you, Father, for the Word, Father. Thank you for giving us the lesson that Christ gave us concerning the temptation of the latter times. What a beautiful gift for this generation of the fig tree. Thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Genesis 1:46, the first six chapters in God's Word. The world that was. Did you realize there was a world age before this one? Same old world, different age. The creation itself. When were the races created? You see, all the races were created separately, and you'll find that documented in these particular tapes. How and what was the sin in the garden? It will be discussed in this series also. This is a must for the serious Bible scholar, for if you do not understand how it was in the beginning, you certainly will never understand the end. I think you will find this series very rewarding and certainly will answer questions that no doubt you've always wondered about. Genesis 1:46. Hey, I know you're going to enjoy this series.
Book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's Word? Certainly one way to go there is to study the book of Deuteronomy. Probably the most exciting thing that Deuteronomy has to offer for you is that great song of Moses, that those that overcome the false Messiah in the end generation will be singing. The law itself being the schoolmaster that keeps us out of trouble in these flesh bodies. Again, an education in taming that part of you that oftentimes needs taming through the old schoolmaster, that great book, Deuteronomy, the law, and its set ways of keeping you from harm's way even in this generation. You're going to enjoy it.